Mephibosheth was a cripple. If you remember the story about how he became a cripple, he was the son of Jonathan, the grandson of Saul. And when the army was coming after Saul, his nurse picked him up in order to take him out so he wouldn't get captured. Just a little baby when this happened, a little toddler, and his nurse fell. And fell on him, and so he was a cripple. His grandpa was King Saul. And again, tonight we read about David saying, is there any left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness? As we remember the relationship that David and Saul had, from a human standpoint, you wouldn't think that David would want to show Saul any kindness. David did a lot for King Saul. He killed Goliath when none of the other soldiers wanted to be, and then he became a captain in Saul's army and won many, many battles. And Saul became jealous, tried to kill him on a couple of occasions, and chased him through the wilderness. He married one of Saul's daughters, but it didn't matter to Saul. He still tried to kill him. And so, again, Saul was the king. Mephibosheth was his grandson. Saul, after he was killed in battle by the Philistines and David became king, his family fell out of favor. And so those that were related to him, those that were still alive and related to King Saul, did not have the position that they had in King Saul's kingdom. Most of Saul's sons were killed. And his family was left in poverty. Even though they were descendants of a king, his family was left in poverty. And so here was a cripple that could not support himself, that was from a family that had fallen out of favor. He lived in poverty, and the place that he was staying, in the house of Machir, the son of Amnon, in Lodibar, it was sort of an other side of the tracks kind of place. It was a place that the affluent people didn't go to. You didn't go there unless you had to. And so there he is. And yet here's King David, who is now the king of Israel, looking for somebody in Saul's family that he could show kindness to. And I want you to notice the words. Is there any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness, again, for Jonathan's sake? So here's the king seeking out a poor, despised cripple. And when he finds him, I'm sure that Mephibosheth wondered what the king wanted with him when word came that King David wanted to see him. Perhaps Mephibosheth thought, well, he's going to kill me. I'm related to Saul who tried to kill him, and he probably wants to kill me. But when he gets in and comes before David, David says this, don't be afraid. I'm going to show kindness to you for your father's sake, for Jonathan's sake, and I'm going to restore all the land of Saul, thy father. Now again, Saul was king, and that land had been taken away when he'd fallen out of favor. And here's King David says, I'm going to give you everything back that your grandpa had. I'm going to give you all the land back. And land back in that day, you measured your wealth by how much land you owned. And so David says, everything that your grandpa owned, I'm giving back to you. And besides that, I want you to come and eat at my table. I want you to eat at the king's table. I want you to be there where I am, and I want you to eat bread at my table continually. As long as you live, I want you to eat at my table and let me supply for you. Now, ask the question, why? Why? Did Mephibosheth deserve it? Well, I don't know. I don't know anything about his character. The Bible doesn't say anything about his character. The only glimpse we get into his character is when Absalom revolted against David, and when David fled from Jerusalem. The Bible says that Mephibosheth did not go with him. But when David came and talked to him about it, Mephibosheth said, well, I had nobody that would help me. Nobody saddled and asked for me. Nobody helped me get out. I wanted to come, but I wasn't able to come because I'm crippled. And again, we don't know anything about his character. Did he deserve it? I don't know. Was he a good guy? I don't know. Did he just result, did he end up where he was as a result of unfortunate circumstances? I don't know. He was Saul's grandson. Saul was out of favor. And yet, here's David showing him kindness because of Jonathan. And that's my message tonight. For Jonathan's sake. For Jonathan's sake. Now, I want to recall with you tonight, and by the way, this morning I started preaching at 11:45. I had 5 pages of notes. Tonight, so I had 15 minutes and 5 pages of notes. Tonight, I got a half an hour, and I only have 1 page of notes. And it's only on one side. It's empty on the back. And so you may get to your after church eating place on Sunday night a little bit earlier tonight than you normally do, but I'm not making any promises, because when I say that, I usually keep you longer than I normally do. So, and again, I only got 1 point tonight, and I'll get to that at the end, but I want to lay the foundation. I want to remind you of 3 interactions that David and Jonathan had, because here's the king showing favor, showing kindness to this young man who, from a human standpoint, did not deserve any kindness from David, but he was doing it for Jonathan's sake. And so I want to remind you of 3 interactions that David had with Jonathan. The first one is the first time they met. It's when David was sent by his dad to check on his 3 older brothers who were in King Saul's army. They were fighting the Philistines. And Jesse, David's dad, said, "Hey, take some food for your brothers, take some other food for the soldiers, and go check on your brothers and see how they're doing." And so David obeyed his dad. He took some food for the soldiers. He took some food for his brothers. He went to the camp of Israel as they were fighting the Philistines to check on his 3 oldest brothers. And you know the story as well as I do. You probably had a grandpa or grandma or a mom or dad that told you that story just like mine did. When he got there, he saw a giant, a champion of the Philistines that came out to the valley that the 2 armies were on, 2 different mountains. And this champion of the Philistines, a giant named Goliath, came and challenged the army of Israel. And he said, "There's no reason for our 2 armies to fight. I'm a champion of the Philistines. Send me a champion of Israel. The 2 of us will fight, and whoever wins, that will determine the course of the battle. If I win, you will surrender to us. If you win, we will surrender to you." Now, this guy was big. He was a mighty warrior. None of the soldiers of Israel volunteered to fight him. Abner, who was King Saul's general, refused to fight him. King Saul didn't go and fight him. And yet, here's this little teenage boy, a shepherd boy, sent on an errand from his dad to check on his brother. Here's this giant challenged the army of Israel and said, "Well, who's going to go fight him? If nobody's going to go fight him, I'm going to go fight him." And you remember what his older brother said, "David, you're just here because you want to see the battle. Just stay out of it. You're just a kid. You can't go up against this champion of Israel. He'll just slaughter you. So just keep your mouth shut." And David said, "No, look, when I kept the sheep and a bear came and a lion came, I took care of the bear. I took care of the lion. I can take care of this giant." He is cursing and challenging not only the people of God, he is challenging our God. And he said, "I'll go fight him. Is there not a cause?" Well, word came to King Saul that this little shepherd boy was willing to go fight the giant. And King Saul called him. And what King Saul did was real big. He said, "Well, I'm not going to go fight him, but I'll loan you my armor. I'll give you the armor that I wear. I'll give you my sword, whatever you need. If you want to go fight the giant, have to it." Real big of a king, don't you think? Real big of somebody that's leading the army. Send this little boy into battle. David tried it on. He said, "I can't go in this stuff. I haven't proved it." So he said, I just need my sling. And he went down to the water, and the Bible says he picked up 5 stones. You say, why'd he pick up 5 stones? Well, Goliath had 4 brothers. He didn't know if he was going to have to fight all 5 of them or not. So he picked up five stones and took his sling, went out and faced Goliath, and Goliath got insulted. He said, "You send me this little runt to fight me? Is this the best that you can do?" And he said to David, "I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds." And David said, "Look, I don't come to you in my strength. I don't come to you in my power. I come in the strength and power of the God of Israel. You talk about feeding me to the birds. Listen, buddy, I'm going to feed you to the birds." And David wound up that sling, let go of one stone, hit Goliath in the only place that he didn't have armor, right between the eyes. That giant went down, and David ran and took Goliath's sword and cut off his head. Now, I want to remind you, I've mentioned this to you before, it's not easy to come off somebody's head. It's not like you just take one swipe and that head comes off. There's a lot of muscle in your neck. I mean, I can just see that little boy hacking away at Goliath's neck, blood flying everywhere, and finally gets that head off, grabs it by the hair, says he takes it back to his tent. He didn't have a tent. He wasn't in the army. Took it back to his brother's tent. I wonder what his brother said when David came back holding. There's just so many details of these stories that I can't wait till we get to heaven to get the detail. I just wonder what his older brother said when their little brother came back holding the head of that giant. Now, Saul found out who he was. Said, "Go find out who this is." Didn't even know his name, even though David had sung for him before. And he came, and Saul said, "Look, you're going to stay. You're going to be part of my army, and God bless you for what you did." Then the Bible says that Jonathan called David. Now, you don't need to turn to it, but I'm going to turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 18, and I'm going to read a few verses from that meeting. "And it came to pass, when he, David, had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow, and to his girdle." So, when Jonathan saw what David had did for Israel, when he saw what David, how David had stood against this champion of the Philistines, the Bible says that God knitted their souls together. Jonathan loved him as he loved himself, as his own soul. And Jonathan equipped him. You see, Saul wasn't going to let him go home. He as a young man was going to become a captain in Saul's army. The Bible says before this that there weren't any swords in Israel. The only swords in Israel were the ones that Saul and Jonathan had. David was going to be a captain. He was going to serve in Saul's army. He needed some equipment to do that. He needed some equipment to do what not only Saul was calling him to do, but what was part of God's plan for his life. And so in that first meeting, Jonathan took his sword, again, one of only two that was in Israel, according to the Bible, and gave that sword to David. He gave him his garments, the garments of authority that Jonathan wore as the king's son. He gave him his girdle, again, where he attached that sword and carried that sword. He gave him his bow, again, one of Jonathan's weapons. Jonathan was known for his use of the bow. And so in that first time they met, their souls were knit together, and Jonathan equipped David for the task that David was called upon, not only by Saul, but was part of God's plan for his life. And so to train him so that one day he could be king, so that one day he could lead the army of Israel. Now, the second thing I want to mention to you tonight, again, laying the foundation for my message, there were two occasions where Saul, because of his jealousy, because of the victories that David was winning, because of the acclaim that the nation was giving David. Remember, he came back from one battle, and the women were there, and they were singing, David has slain his 10,000s, and Saul has slain his thousands. And Saul got so mad, he said, well, they're giving David all the credit. He's killed 10,000. I've only killed 1,000. What's next? Is he going to take the throne? Is he going to be the next king? And so on two different occasions, well, actually more than two, but the two that I want to mention tonight, on two different occasions, Saul tried to kill David. Tried to kill him himself, ordered his other soldiers to try to kill David. And on these two occasions, his son Jonathan interceded with his father for David. Now again, you don't need to turn to it. I'm going to turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 19, and I'm going to read a couple of verses from 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 4 through 6, where the Bible says, "And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee ward very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain." And so, again, David interceded with the king, with Saul, and said, hey, why are you going to kill David? He's innocent. All he's done for you is good. Why would you kill innocent blood? Now, again, you don't need to turn to it. A second time, in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 32 through 34. "And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, Wherefore shall he be slain?" Saul had just given an order to his soldiers to kill David. What hath he done? "And Saul cast a javelin at him," at Jonathan, "to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. And Jonathan arose from his table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame." Now, Jonathan, this was the time that Jonathan and David had arranged that signal so that Jonathan could tell David whether he could come back or whether he needed to flee. And Jonathan went out and gave David that signal that he needed to run because Saul was determined to kill him. So again, on two different occasions, Jonathan tried to intercede with his father on David's behalf. Then the last meeting they had, we talked about the first meeting they had after David killed Goliath. The last meeting they had was before the battle with the Philistines, where both Saul and Jonathan was killed. And so again, you don't need to turn to it, but I'm going to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 23 and read verses 16 and 17. And here's what the Bible says. "And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth." Again, the army of Israel was about to go into battle with the Philistines. Jonathan thought they were going to be victorious. And he said to David, he said, "David, my dad's not going to get you. I know that one day you're going to be the king." Now stop and think. This was Jonathan. He was in line to follow Saul to be the king. But he knew that God had other ideas. He says, "You're going to be the king. And one day I'm going to be by your side. One day I'm going to be your right-hand man. One day I'm going to be there for you. I will have your back, and we will serve together." Jonathan was killed in that battle, as was Saul. David became the king. He got to thinking about Jonathan. Jonathan was a good friend. I loved him. He did a lot of wonderful things for me. I wonder if anybody's left that's related to Saul that I could show kindness to. Not because of all the things that Saul did to me. I mean, if I was repaying Saul for what he did to me, I'd find the rest of his family and kill them like he tried to kill me. But Jonathan was kind to me. I wonder if there's anybody left in the house of Saul that I should show kindness to, not for Saul's sake, not for that person's sake, but for Jonathan's sake, to repay the kindness that he has showed to me. He found Ziba, said, well, yeah, there is one person. He's a cripple living on the other side of the tracks, poor, living in poverty. David said, go get him. Go get him. And that cripple came into David's presence and says, hey, I'm giving everything your grandpa had back to you, all his lands, and I want you to be like one of my sons. I want you to eat at my table. I ended the message this morning with Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We are commanded by God to show kindness to other people. There's nothing in that verse that qualifies the kind of people that we should show kindness to. It doesn't matter if they deserve it. It doesn't matter if they're good or bad. It doesn't matter if they're part of our church or not part of our church. The Bible says that we're to be kind to other people. I know when we decide in our human hearts whether we're going to be kind to other people, we always qualify them. If it was left up to us, we'd only be kind to those people that have been kind to us or to those people who we think deserve our kindness. Those that have treated us poorly, those that have done nothing good for us, those that believe different than we believe and live different than we live, we would not on our own show kindness to them. But God doesn't say that in that verse. He doesn't say, hey, I want you to be kind to people that believe like you or to live like you or that's been good to you or that has shown kindness to you. I want you to be kind one to another. And I want you to do it with a tender heart. I want you to feel it. I just don't want you to go through the motions. I want you to have love for that person. And as you love that person, I want you to be kind to them. If they've done you wrong, I want you to forgive them. I want you to forgive them. And here's the rest of the verse. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. Now again, let me go back and lay a little bit more of my foundation before I finish up. I believe that Jonathan paints a pretty good picture of Jesus Christ. You just stop and think about the three meetings that David and Jonathan had and what Jonathan did. Jonathan interceded with the father. On David's behalf. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. We were sinners. We had a broken relationship with God. There was no way that we could fix it ourselves. But the Son of the King interceded with the King on our behalf. He went to the cross. All our sins were laid on him. He paid for all our sins. And listen, he not only paid for all the sins that we committed before we got saved, but he paid for all the sins that we've committed after we got saved. You know, the great accuser up in heaven, Satan, oftentimes goes before the Father and points at me and said, hey, did you see what he did? Did you see the bad thing that he did? Did you see the unkindness that he showed? Did you just see how he's acting? You need to hold him accountable for that. I have somebody in heaven that's my advocate. I have somebody in heaven when Satan accuses me before God the Father, comes to the Father and intercedes for the Father on my behalf. Jesus Christ comes and says, hey, Dad, that's under the blood too. That mistake, that error, that unkindness, that thing that he did that he shouldn't have done, or that thing that he didn't do that he shouldn't have done, or that he should have done, it's all under the blood. And I have somebody that has interceded in the past and continues to intercede today on my behalf before the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Second thing that Jonathan did for David was that he equipped him, gave him his sword, gave him his, his robe, gave him his bow, gave him his girdle, gave him everything that he needed to do what David was called to do. Again, not only by Saul, but by God, to be in Saul's army, to get training so that he one day could lead the army of Israel. I want to remind you tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ equips us as well. He does it through the Holy Spirit. He gives us what we need every single day to do what God has called us to do. Everything. I mean, when we stand before people and witness for Christ, we're told in the Word of God, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. He'll put the words in your mouth that you need to say. The Holy Spirit will direct you to the people that God wants you to stand for Him before. And so we have somebody that has equipped us to carry out the plan that God has for our life. And then number three, as Jonathan promised to David, said, hey, you're going to be king one day. I'm going to stand beside you. I'm going to be your right-hand man. I will always have your back. Of course, he didn't get to carry out that promise. That wasn't part of God's plan for his life. He died in that battle. But I have somebody today that never leaves me or forsakes me. He's got my back. He's got your back. He goes with you everywhere you go. He's there. He's there with us. And so David said, I want to find somebody that's related to Saul. I want to show kindness to them. Not because they deserve it, not because what King Saul did to me, but because for Jonathan's sake. And so I come back to Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another. Not because they deserve it. Not because they've been kind to us. Maybe they have, maybe they haven't. Not because they live the same way. Not because they believe the same way. Be kind to them. Why? For Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. Just like King David was kind to Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake. We can be kind to those that God brings across our path for Jesus' sake. I close tonight by turning to the book of Matthew, chapter 25, and reading a few verses from there where the Bible says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee we a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's be kind to one another. For Jesus' sake. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this reminder from your word. Thank you that we have a Savior that interceded on our behalf before you, that equips us for what you've called us to do, that he never leaves us or forsakes us. We can be kind. We can show kindness to others with a tender heart for Jesus' sake. help us to do that. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ, help them to understand that they had somebody that interceded with the Father on their behalf as well. Jesus bore their sin on Calvary, paid for every one of them. And so God's able to offer them the gift of eternal life. And I pray if there's just one here tonight that's never received that gift, that they'd take it. They'd see their sin. They'd see their need for a Savior. They see that Jesus is the only one that works. And I pray tonight that in just a second they would come and they would ask Jesus to be their Savior. Then again, I pray you speak to our hearts as Christians. If we're not showing the kindness we need to show to others, help us make some holy vows tonight to do that. Just bless this time of invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.